good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder in Hoak language. I'm Ho-Chunk, proud of it. And my colonized name is Robert Pilot, which is kind of a cool name anyways. So I'm Distant Thunder and Robert Pilot, which is an awesome name. We discuss national and Twin City Native American news and events. And as we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You could call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And I think I hear something moving around in the background. Is it you, Ogama?
Yeah,
okay, there we go.
Got her pogo stick and microphone on.
Awesome.
So George Floyd squares been closed down. The police are, I should say, opened. So that's a thing happening here in the Twin Cities.
There goes that noise again.
So they're... that's what's been going on in the Twin Cities and Minneapolis on 38th and Chicago. So it's not a happy deal. It's really warm out, and it's not good.
So they shut down the square. So it was shut down so that no there wasn't any traffic allowed. And then it was kind of like a memorial there,
yeah,
right?
Really.
So it's open back up to traffic?
City workers snuck in an hour before sunrise and opened up the streets and moved the barriers.
Okay, so now there's traffic going through it, and it's not
yet.
Okay,
because there's protests and stuff.
I see. Okay, thank you for explaining that to me. I was confused.
Well, I don't explain things very well, so thanks for.
That's kind of sad. You know,
it's really
I
sad.
Hope. You know, I think that you know, we have to ask the businesses too. Like, I mean, even Cup Foods. I mean, having that barrier there might be detrimental to his business, but at the same time, there should be some type of memorial or something in that area so that people can go and
maybe
reflect.
Just have
and
buses
you know.
And police cars and cabs go through like they do on Hennepin Avenue.
That's, yeah, maybe.
Be respectful. Jeez, I'm really irritated.
Yeah,
irritated about it.
Yeah,
but so I don't get more irritated about talking about things. Let's go to Ogama with the news. You know, we do Native-centric news, and like we say, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. We always say that with the news, too. And so you're going to be listening to Ogama here with the news that she prepares every day, all about Native stuff. So welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Buju and Ian. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I'm so glad because I was struggling today with a little bit of connection issues. As always, I like to start with some information about upcoming water protection events. The big one that is coming up is this weekend. I've been saying for the last few days that you can still sign up, but you know, it is this weekend, so you're on the end of when you can sign up for the Treaty People Gathering. We are all treaty people, and we all benefit from treaties protecting our water and land. So if you have not yet signed up, please sign up at treatypeoplegathering.com. And while you're at it, make sure that you are following Native Roots Radio, as Robert and I will both be on site for the event this weekend and following what's happening there. So that is the big news in events coming up. And I'm sure there'll be more events planned throughout the summer, but we're focusing on that one for now.
Yeah. We'll get to see Jane Fonda and a couple other celebrities up there, too.
I will be home at the mothership with the equipment.
Right. In case we're thrown in jail. I know Ogama will be thrown in jail, but I will avoid the police you know, they don't like me. So I'll be Slick Rick, just taking pictures and stuff
there
from a distance with the telephoto lens. But you had a picture taken at Standing Rock with someone. Do you remember who it was?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. I don't remember. Shadley or Shanley, some star. I don't know. Everyone could tell who it was. But go ahead, Ogama.
I think I know who you're talking about, but their name escapes me as well. And for all of our listeners, if I do get arrested this weekend or get targeted as somebody as a member of the media, you all heard it, and I believe Robert jinxed me. So moving forward with that, the Blandin Foundation, which is a nonprofit foundation in northern Minnesota, actually released an article this week talking about Enbridge's tax case in Minnesota and how it's going to relate to broadband access in northern Minnesota. So it basically cites the millions of dollars that are now owed back to Enbridge after they claimed they were overcharged on property taxes by the state of Minnesota. The problem with that is that the counties in northern Minnesota who received those tax dollars from Enbridge are now in a bind because they did not decide the rate that Enbridge was paying, but are likely to be forced to pay back the money to Enbridge, which is a huge financial strain for these counties. Many of these counties are very rural, not a lot of infrastructure, not a lot of way to make income. The issue also affects cities, towns, and school districts directly. So the Blandin Foundation worries that in an area where broadband access is already highly limited, these counties are going to have even less money to spend to expand access. In the article, the Blandin Foundation provided the rank of the 13 affected counties in Minnesota by access to broadband speeds at 100 megabytes down and 20 megabytes uploaded, right? Most concerning is Aiken County, which is actually just north of where I live, who ranks 81st in the state, which is then followed closely by Carlton County, who's 76th, and Cass County, who's in 66th. What's interesting about that as well is that Carlton County and Cass County both have a large percentage of people in their counties that are Native American because there's reservations in both of those places. Fond du Lac is on the edge of Carlton County or in Carlton County, and the Cass Lake Tribe is in Cass County. So I don't think that's an accident. Anyway, news in Minneapolis, the Hennepin County Sheriff's deputy shot and killed a man this afternoon in Minneapolis in the Uptown neighborhood. The shooting took place in a parking ramp at West Lake Street and South Fremont Street. Deputies and possibly federal marshals were pursuing a murder suspect when gunfire started. The Minneapolis police were not involved until after the incident, and they were there to help secure the scene. Apparently, a woman that was with the man who was killed was taken into custody. That was a big thing today because earlier in the day, as Robert was saying, city workers began removing memorials and barricades at the Minneapolis intersection where Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd at 38th in Chicago just over a year ago. They were completely unannounced and showed up at about 4:30 this morning with bulldozers and other equipment to move the concrete barriers aside. So for more than a year, there's been concrete barriers blocking the intersection outside of Cup Foods in Minneapolis. Basically, it's unofficially known as George Floyd Square now, and the city has had a year to come up with some sort of memorial or something of that nature, and didn't work with the community as a whole. The Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Frey, said that he's been working specifically with one organization. I think it's called the Agape Group. And they had informed them on how to respectfully take that down, but hadn't been given by the mayor or the city officials anything going on about when they were going to do it. Meanwhile, also today, the American Civil Liberties Union and a nonprofit group called the Minnesota Coalition on Government Information are suing the city of Minneapolis for illegally withholding police misconduct records from the public. The lawsuit was filed in Hennepin County today and says that the practice of willful misinterpretation of the statute was designed to circumvent Minnesota law. Minnesota law says information about disciplinary action is public and must be released, but claims that city officials have been hiding behind the jargon using the term coaching instead of disciplinary action to violate the open records law. So that's a big deal coming up here, too. So a lot of news from Minnesota today.
Yeah, no doubt. Pini Gigi, thank you, Ogama, for the news and the great things that you do. Do you remember the name?
Shailene
Woodley.
Woodley, yeah. I have a picture of her in her and I in Standing Rock.
Chilling like
I
villains.
I couldn't remember her name, but yeah.
Hey, check it out. A Lewis Eagle Thunder. Congrats to Minneapolis Native High School graduates this weekend at the public school powwow. I guess Governor or Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan will be there too, and I'll try and make it there before I head up to the deep north. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. Up next, Robert Lilligren.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit Pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 Hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Haluza Nation.
Hey, welcome back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Awesome. Hey, it's Thursday, and it's Robert Lilligren Day,
yeah.
Officially. Robert is a director of the Native American Community Development Institute, NADCI, and I want to welcome you, Robert. We got a bunch to talk about, but we got a couple segments, so we can talk slow and coherent. And I don't know what I'm saying. I have a tummy ache, yeah. So I'm a little off.
Oh, it's right here. Bonjour, Robert, Wendy, Ogama. Nice to see you.
Hi. Good to see you too, Robert.
Right, exactly. Hey, we kind of did a little pre-planning, and let's talk a little bit. I don't like to gloat, and I really don't talk much about this, too, because I try to keep it separate, but you had some really good insight, and you've dealt with a lot of elections, and
So the first thing I think is congratulations, Robert, on your electoral triumph. Very impressive results. What was it, like 55%, something like that?
Yeah, almost 55%. Yep, exactly. Yeah. But we'll say 55 if we're going to the highest number. Yeah,
we're rounding up.
Right, round up.
and it's great. We talk a lot about this, and I know you've always offered, and it's getting to be election season here soon. And I know you guys at NADCI are going to be reaching out or at least at the very least helping people running for office with your expertise. And I really appreciated the insight that you have and always have with what's going on with government and running for office.
Yeah, thanks. You're very kind. So tell me, what's your title now? I was thinking earlier, is it Your Royal Highness, or what are we supposed to call you?
Ogama, what is it? You sent me a text. Do you remember what you said? Do you remember what you said, Ogama?
I left him a note, and I said on the coffee pot this morning, I said, good morning, legislator.
Is that it? Legislator, that's the title?
Yeah. What is it?
That's the official title. I believe I referred to you as Your Excellence this morning.
I just wanted to hear that.
I'm sure you really like that, Ogama.
Yeah.
So what a great way to serve your tribe, Robert.
Yes, give back. You know, we're at that age where both of us, or all three of us, I should say. I don't want to say how old Wendy is, but, you know, we're at that age to give it back now.
Yeah. You know, so when do you get sworn into office? When's your inauguration?
It's the 30th, and what I'm understanding, which is kind of a bummer, is that it's going to be done online. And so I talked to Marlene today, and we might have it at her church and have people there and do it on a big screen or something, and that would be really a fun way to say thank you to the community and all the people, because, you know, those people really helped me.
That's what it takes for a campaign, and it'll be great to be at All Nations Church. They have that lovely circle and fire in the courtyard there, and that would be significant. I'd come if I was invited.
Definitely be invited, because I still got to get you that Resist T-shirt.
Yeah, my T-shirt. I'm getting sick of talking about it.
Oh, I should have stopped by today. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, and I can't help talk about it. We've been talking about it all week. Is the 215 and that's really been weighing heavy on everybody. And I think it's up to us to keep it amplified and keep it going. So what are your thoughts, Robert?
Yeah, well, first off, it's just horrifying, right? It's a nightmare. People are just triggered. I'm triggered just thinking about it and reading about it and hearing about it and talking about it. You know, it's just, it's hard. And I think the worst part is that's 215 children, and we all know that there are more, right? And I think, you know, sort of our the message that these children are bringing is find us, you know, there's more. And, you know, and one of the things I've had, lots of conversations about it all week, like you, and kind of some interesting and sort of surprising ones. I've had a couple of representatives of philanthropy reach out, and some of them have, you know, givers and members that are from Canada, and they're wondering how they should be engaging, you know, these Canadian partners, what they should be advising. And of course, I'm just kind of a traffic director, sending them to the people who really know more and can really advise them. But that really surprised me to have philanthropy be so proactive like that.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a new dawn, a new day. I really feel like, you know, we couldn't celebrate, I shouldn't say celebrate, recognize the Black Wall Street's thing.
Right.
Floyd wasn't murdered. I really feel like he's put out his name, and what happened to him has really amplified a lot of things. And again, I talk about Robert, that the Redskin name being changed during that. I mean, these things that are happening.
Right. Yeah, I think it kind of is a new day, but just to take a little detour here, and you're talking about, you know, George Floyd and the massacre in Missouri, the Black Wall Street. And I was in a meeting today. As I've talked about before, I serve on the City of Minneapolis Truth and Reconciliation Work Group, and we're creating some recommendations for the city that'll be released later this month. But Dr. Rose Brewer from the University of Minnesota is part of the group, and just brilliant, brilliant thinker. And she was talking about the massacre, which happened on Memorial Day. And that's her city of her birth. That's her, you know, her hometown.
Wow.
And St. Louis. And then George Floyd's murder here in her adopted town on the same day, you know, on Memorial Day. And just saying there's something about this day. And then she pulled out a couple of other historical references to just right around or on Memorial Day. So that was one of the things that really resonated with me, you know. And it's kind of heavy times.
Yeah, it really is, Wendy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is definitely heavy times. And I'm glad that they recognized it. I'm glad people are talking about it. I'm glad that we went to the ceremony in Minneapolis that day. So I'm glad that there's awareness.
It's heavy.
Right. And just kind of, you know, through this Truth and Reconciliation Work Group, it focuses on Native people. And then African Americans, descendants of slaves, so sort of the stolen land, stolen labor approach. And it's just been an incredible experience. But there's this growing awareness of the need to sort of cross-educate just between those two communities. And And this work group, the Truth and Reconciliation work group, has been a really good opportunity to start doing that and sort of really mapping out what we don't know about each other and just really this mutual reaffirming, that sort of mutual support, mutual, that allyship, I guess, you know, between our communities. And, you know, here the African-American community by numbers is much, much larger. And so we need our allies and we need to be showing up and supporting them.
Right. And I think one of the things that people try to put us up against each other, and you're right, we need to be allies. And I know, you know, when the American Indian movement got going, they were kind of mirroring and copying what was going on with the Black Panther movement. And, you know, Clyde has relationships with a lot of African-American leaders all these years. And I think if we mirror that, like you are, and reaching out, they only can be better. Because, you know, I kept on saying in the election is that, you know, we outnumber them. We need to just organize and get away from the petty stuff and do the right thing, because we outnumber them.
Right. When we're together.
Right.
When we're all together. Right. If we're not working together, we don't. And and it serves the colonizer, right, for us to be fighting amongst each other. So it threatens the status quo when we figure out how to come together, work together, and it's vital.
Yeah, I'm really sad, and this will be the second year now, Wendy, that Gay Pride Day in the March is not going to be happening. So, I mean, it's just a great celebration, and but all month we can celebrate. And your thoughts, Robert?
Yeah, there's stuff happening. You know, it's not going to be the big event in Loring Park that's here in Minneapolis, the site of the big festival. Won't be the big parade, but there's quite a bit going on. I'm kind of surprised, and more coming online every day. excuse me. Here in the Twin Cities, you could go to Pride, Twin Cities Pride. Just search that, and there's a Facebook page as well. And so there is going to be some stuff going on. And you know, I'm part of the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors. That's a 50-year-strong leadership forum here in the Twin Cities of some 36 Native organizations. And, you know, we do a little bit of funding of community events. We have a little pot of money, really small, but we just got an application today, you know, to fund some activities of the Minnesota Two-Spirit Society.
Awesome.
So there, I'm not even sure what it is. I didn't get a chance to review it. I just said, I vote yes. We did an electronic vote. But I'm sure it'll be good. But it's something, right? And
yeah,
it's not what it was 2 years ago, but it's a heck of a lot more than it was last year.
And it will be back. It will be back. And
right.
I think the spirit, and especially here in the Twin Cities, and I know Madison for sure, in Chicago, the spirit of support is always there. So. But we want to celebrate together with all our relatives and our allies and support each other. Robert, do you have time for another segment?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're with Robert Lilligren, Director of Native American Community Development. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hello, this is Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio. Now, my show will be on Saturdays from 10 to 11 and replayed on Sundays from 1 to 2. You will get to the best of Ellie 2.0 with talking about idealism, with guests who come in and who are idealistic, who are trying to change the world, and you will get me, Super Idealist. Tune in. We can't wait to hear from you, and you'll hear from me Saturdays from 10 to 11.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
The Department of Indian Work partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. Now you can call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can also schedule a free COVID-19 vaccine at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. Appointments are available for residents 16 years of age and older. Vaccines are available to certain residents of Hennepin, Ramsey, Anoka, and Dakota counties. Call the Minnesota American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986 to find out when you can get your free COVID-19 vaccination. Appointments are available April 16th through June 19th. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986. That's 651-304-9986.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Partly cloudy overnight with a low of 68, then sunshine and extreme heat on Friday with a high of 96. Cafe Latte at Victoria Street and Grand Avenue in St. Paul provides an award-winning array of salads, sandwiches, and soups, treats from the bakery made fresh daily, and a pizza and wine bar. Check them out today at cafelatte.com.
Hi, Minnesota. This is Tom Hartman. Join me every weekday from 11 to 2 for in-depth analysis of what's happening in politics today on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
This isn't where we howl?
No.
I was all ready to howl.
Okay,
can we do that one real quick?
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
It's just like the old days when we had four people howling
yeah.
At once.
I know, in the studio,
yeah.
In Eden Prairie.
I can't talk. Ogama put up a good point here in our private chat. The tribes in Canada are suing the federal government for reparations on specific to boarding schools. Really interesting. Really interesting. Robert, welcome back. We're with Robert Lilligren, the director of Native American Community Development Institute. And I got a couple questions, and one regarding we talked a little bit about it, and that was we were talking about Missouri and the Black Wall Street, but we kind of feel like something like that kind of happened, you know, the erasure of the history, and now George Floyd Square was kind of snuck upon and taken apart early this morning. Did you hear anything in Minneapolis? What was going on?
Oh, yeah, a bit of it. It's all over the news, of course, and all over social media and everything. And yeah, there was quite a movement toward what the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Bry, is calling a first step. And it wasn't a complete opening. I think there was an attempt to sort of open the intersection back up. I think there was a protest action, peaceful protest to reoccupy the space. So it seems like it's going to be a sequence now to the reopening of 38th in Chicago, George Floyd Square.
Yeah, I don't know. We were talking earlier before you came on, and it's just like, you know, Hennepin Avenue, can we do three or four blocks, maybe a one-way or just buses or something? I think, you know, there's so much there, and just the feeling when you're there, and I don't know. I just would hate to see it disappear, but again, I don't personally live there either.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, to move it, you know, if it's Hennepin Avenue, which is right downtown Minneapolis, mm-hmm. you know, that seems to be a little less authentic. It's that place, right? Mm-hmm. It's that place that George Floyd died that will be forever sacred. And so, especially as Native people with that strong sense of place, you know, I think the place is important. So I think something has to happen. I don't think it's practical to have it closed off completely to traffic. It's a hub. It's a bustling hub. And it had really done some turnaround with a lot of economic development, arts-based development that has happened there in the last decade or so. Our current city council vice president has been really focusing on that intersection since she worked for me in City Hall back in the early 2000s. And you could really see progress and feel traction. And so it is a community hub. And another connection I have to that is through the Metro Transit. You know, I serve on the Metropolitan Council, our regional government here, and we run the Metro Transit system. And that intersection is an important station on a new arterial bus rapid transit, it's called the D line. Mm-hmm. And so 38th in Chicago needs to be somehow designed into a station that allows to acknowledge what happened there, mm-hmm. you know, that honors George Floyd, honors the struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. Good words. It's heartbreaking. And I mean, I just feel like, I don't know, today, I mean, yesterday, of course, I was celebrating my victory, but, you know, I'm kind of back to feeling a little heavy, you know, sure. You know what I mean, Robert? And I know the 215, you know, we talk about, you know, there's more children not only buried in that school playground, but all over.
Right. All over. And as in so many conversations this week, and you know, people are talking about, you know, either their experience, their parents' experience, a lot of us, our grandparents' experience, you know, and it just really brings it home. That could have been them, you know, and I'm sure that could have been my grandparents or my great aunts and uncles. And so it's sobering.
It's really sobering, too, that the last school was closed in 1996. So, I mean, it could have definitely been us or people that are basically 40 years old now, right?
Right, right. And so it's, you know, I think the next big movement is we need to find these children, you know, we need to treat them respectfully, bring them home. And then, as you were saying earlier, Robert, you know, it just feels like a different conversation, a different day. You know, I think in the Native community, we're probably all saying, well, we all knew this, you know, we knew that there's literally bodies buried at these schools, you know, and now the rest of the world knows that.
Right, right. And it's up to us to keep amplifying it, too, because there's so many lost children. And, you know, if you just think of the numbers, too, you know, if you go backwards from us or forwards, there's grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. So there's so many missing parts to people's families that are no longer able to be ever recovered. So that's just a deep, heavy grieving kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah. And taking the time, you know, I've been really fortunate to be in conversations like with the Minneapolis Truth and Reconciliation Work Group where people really acknowledge the difficulties in these conversations. You know, it's not abstract for us, you know, the sort of emotional labor of participating in these, and that really, you know, non-native people, you know, have really allowed space and to have that kind of grieving, to have that, you know, to let us express the emotional part of being in these conversations. It's hard.
You know, my father, my adopted father, Robert Pilot Sr., he was in World War II and the Korean War, and he never talked about it. And we have the same thing with our Native family, where they don't talk about this. They don't talk. People are coming out of the woodwork talking about it, that I'm in shock that experienced it directly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I support them. You know, you got to love them. You know, you can just imagine how hard it is for them and how important it is to bring light to these stories and to hear them from people that experienced this firsthand.
Yeah, I guess why I brought that up, it was like, it shouldn't be, but it was surprising to me to hear it from certain mm-hmm. people. But it's also, like you said, it should be healing for not only the people that have gone through it that speak their truth, but also people listening to it, for me, just go, oh my God, yes.
Right,
it's real.
Right.
It's real. Look
right. Like yeah. And through this work with the Truth and Reconciliation Work Group, I just learned so much from so many people. That really wasn't an area that I had any expertise and very little knowledge about. And I'm kind of there as the process guy and, you know, the local government guy or whatever. And so to learn about this, and that's such an important part of any kind of reconciliation or anything that looks like reconciliation, is the acknowledgement of the harm done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, I think, conversations like those around the discovery, the grim discovery in Canada, mm-hmm. start to show us the path, where you know, the majority culture, white people, the importance of acknowledging, yes, there was very much harm done, and then we can figure out how to move forward.
Well, we talk a lot about, and I totally believe this, that the traumas handed down from generation to generation, and people, you know, John Trudeau, I saw a piece on him on YouTube that he spoke a long time ago, and he was saying that the alcoholic is fighting the way that he can fight back against colonization. And I never thought of it that way, that, sure. You know, something horrific happened to him and his family, or her and her family, but they're still here, even though the spirits are deep in their psyche. It was an interesting way to think about it.
It's really interesting. Yeah, changes your perspective. I had some of those experiences during the homeless encampment here, the Wall of Forgotten Natives, and, you know, seeing these people that were struggling in a lot of ways, and then just really having to acknowledge that's our strength. You know, they're being very strong just by being there, just by being, you know, and that for me was a profound shift in my perspective.
Yeah, I agree. And then me being a recovering alcoholic, I didn't think that those perspectives would affect me as much as they still do. I hear those stories. It's very emotional. I think I'm getting really emotional right now on this show.
I am too.
I wonder about the parents whose children were in the schools and never returned. Like, what were they told? Were they told your child ran away and never was found? Your child had pneumonia and died? What did the school tell these poor parents who lost these children? It's just unbelievable to me.
If they told them anything,
oh my gosh.
There's a picture, you guys, that I've seen it before circulate, but it's circulated again, where there was a residential school and there was teepees outside it because the parents wanted to be close to their kids. And that's just the sadness, you know, of everybody. Every creature on earth has a connection with their children. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting really emotional now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Yep. It's a dark and sad time. It was a dark and sad time.
It is.
We're still living with it.
Mm-hmm. And it was the Catholic Church.
Right. Yeah. And the government.
And the government, right. The Catholic Church, who in told all these lies and kept all these secrets and did this terrible, horrific thing.
Well, that's we only got a minute left here, and let's swing back to all the help that Robert gave us, pointers. It's great to have
he
Robert.
He gave you great advice.
Right.
Great
advice.
We're going you back. Did it. You did it. I didn't do anything.
And Olga made those great posters, too, and then Wendy put thumbs up or thumbs down on it. So it was a team effort, and I'll speak to you privately about the certain women, elder Ho-Chunk women, that really helped me and made phone calls. But they were the original ones that asked me to do it, and you can't say no to an elder.
And they walked the walk when they needed to. So your numbers showed that. They looked great. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much, Robert. And thank you again for being on. And sorry I regressed to some heaviness, but it kind of got into
Eternal
it.
Life.
Yep. Exactly. So, Pini Gigi and happy Gay Pride Month. And I think every day is Gay Pride. I think we support all Two-Spirit and everybody that's not the same as everybody. You know what I mean?
Everybody who's not the same as everybody. Exactly.
Wow. That's pretty much everybody. That's pretty much everybody.
Exactly.
Pini Gigi, Robert, have a great day. All right. Listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Over the past year and more, we've all missed out on a lot. Family time, graduations, weddings. And missing those events, we've missed out on even more. Friendships, connections, community, belonging. That's a long time to miss things this important. So don't miss on getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccines are now available throughout Hennepin County to anyone over the age of 16. Just visit TakeCareHennepin.org and sign up to get yours. That's TakeCareHennepin.org.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pini Gigi, and thank you for your support.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Get to howl twice.
Yeah, wow. Hey, so, you know, the bumper we have different people say you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and get some more people to say that.
Oh, that'd be great.
Up in the treaties thing. There's people from all over the country going
to
be there.
And, well, we have to get Ogama's daughter, Anna, to do it. She was practicing.
Yeah, we have to record that.
Yeah,
and
record
put that
her
in the bumper
and let's put
music.
Her in there. Yeah.
And definitely, definitely. Yeah, good one. Hey, so this is our sacred animal section, and I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy, and Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's, can you say what group you're with again?
Because it's of course
changed,
I can.
And I can't find
I know, they changed the name. We used to be called State Council Members for the Humane Society of the United States, but now we're called Humane Policy Volunteer Leaders for the Humane Society of the United States. They changed the name. We didn't have any, you know, say in it, but they just did it.
Well, you still
but I
think
it tells people what we do. We're policy volunteer.
No, we volunteer and help with policy.
Policy, yeah. I was on the phone actually today. We had a Zoom call with Senator Tina Smith's legislative assistant.
Toxic Tina.
And that was what we did today, so that was awesome. But honestly, I just want to bring this up. Yesterday, several dogs were rescued in an alleged dog-fighting ring Gaston County, North Carolina. The Gaston County Police Department and Gaston County Animal Care and Enforcement have been investigating reports of dog fighting at a home on Queens Road in Gastonia, the Gaston County Police Department reports. Police said that the investigation was started after community members expressed concern to Gaston County Animal Care and Enforcement. That's how important it is for people to get involved, know what your neighbor's doing, pay attention. If you see something wrong, it doesn't look right, go to the authorities and
figure
it out. I look out
the window all the time.
Absolutely.
What do you call me?
I call you Lena. So this is a funny story. I'm going to go off track here. But when I was a kid, my little Italian grandmother had a neighbor. Her name was Lena Perina. And she was a nosy woman who knew everybody's business. So anytime anytime I was at my grandma's house and I looked out the window, she'd call me Lena. Lena, what are you looking out the window for? So that's
so
just a joke.
You brought that here to Minnesota.
I love my Nana. She lived till she was 96 and she was in really good health. So yeah. God bless Nana, and I love her. But I'm really proud to say that the Humane Society of the United States was really an integral part of this this rescue organization and are taking these dogs. So I'm really happy to say that. Quote, it takes a really just despicable person to exploit these dogs like this, senior manager of dog fighting investigations for the Humane Society International, Jeanette Revere, said. Police said around 7:30 a.m. Wednesday morning, their officers went to the home on Queens Road to serve and search a warrant and attempt to locate and the suspected dog fighting organizer. According to police, the suspect, 49-year-old Rico Pagan, was taken into custody without incident. During the search, officials said around 10 dogs were found covered in fleas and have visible scarring consistent with injuries typically seen in dogfighting cases. The dogs were found living outside on heavy, weighted chains and did not have access to adequate water or shelter, only blue barrels and dilapidated wooden shacks, the Humane Society reports. Quote, some of the dogs did have fresh injuries and wounds. A lot of the dogs had ears that were literally eaten away by flies and gnats, Revere said. Neighbors said they heard dogs barking in the past but didn't know the true cruelty allegedly happening on the premises. Lena would have known. She would have been looking at that window and she would have found it. So I'm really happy that the Humane Society of the United States was involved in this and is helping these dogs. A couple of things I just want to say that just the other day, I see people all the time posting free to a good home, like an animal, free to a good home. Many of these dogs used in these dog fighting rings are called bait dogs. And those are dogs that are smaller, more timid, and they're used to build up the confidence of these dogs that fight. So if you see on Craigslist or an ad on Facebook or any other place that says free to a good home, that really just shows me that the person giving away this animal doesn't care where the animal goes, because there's a lot of people who you know, they'll pretend, they'll come over and say, oh, I love this dog. This is a perfect dog for my family and my wife and my kids. And meanwhile, they're part of the dog ring, the dog fighting ring, and the dog ends up being a bait dog. Dog fighting is a felony in all 50 states. And being a spectator and possessing dogs for the purpose of fighting are felonies in North Carolina. The dogs are often pit bulls. Those are the dogs that they're usually used in these, dog fights.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're given drugs to enhance their performance, and their ears and tails are mostly always cropped. They're made to wear heavy chains on their necks and run on treadmills to build strengths.
Jeez.
And North Carolina is the number one dog fighting state in the United States. 16,000 dogs die each year in organized dog fighting. 16,000.
Yeah. It's everywhere, though. I mean, you're talking about there. I'm sure we have it here in Minnesota.
Oh, I'm sure that there are.
Wisconsin.
I'm sure.
There's
probably everywhere.
Crap load in Wisconsin.
In every state.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there are. The Humane Society of the United States estimates that more than 40,000 people across the country buy and sell fighting dogs and are involved in dog fighting activities.
Wow.
A lot of these people who put their dogs in the ring, they cheat. And listen to this. What they'll do is they'll rub like bitter tasting spray that you could buy and put it on your dogs to stop the other dogs from biting them. But it could be anything like bleach or Vaseline or some sort of soap. The Vaseline makes the dog skin slippery.
Come on.
Of these are used to cheat in dog fighting, but typically the dogs are washed with either rubbing alcohol, Dawn detergent, milk, or all three to remove impurities from the skin, which helps prevent the cheating.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, just...
there's a lot that, you know, you don't even realize, but I just want to say this one last thing before I end. According to a 2008 U.S. Department of Agriculture report, Michael Vick, he's one of the famous dog fighting organizers, and his associates placed family pet dogs into a ring to train as pit bulls, causing major injuries. I don't even want to go on to talk this. So if you see a Craigslist or any ad that says free to a good home, you know, maybe contact that person and just say, you know, dogs are worth money, right? So you never give an animal away to somebody. You don't know where the animal's going, because it will end up in some precarious position, maybe not a dog.
Hey, what is that famous Gandhi quote? Because I feel like after this story and then what is it, the Kentucky Derby,
the greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be determined by the way its animals are treated.
Yep, there you go.
I think I pretty much have it, but yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Wow. Hey, I would like to say Peeny Gigi Wendy for speaking on behalf of our relatives.
Yeah, and go really. HSUS for taking care of these animals.
That's true. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. We're all on trial. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, mask up, and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio. I want to give a shout out to Robert Lilligren as our Thursday guest, Wendy for always her sacred animal section, and Ogma for the news. And I would like to thank myself for just being me. We'll be right. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier, stop line 3, and get vaccinated.